Who will be the top consumer watchdog? The White House may sidestep the controversy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It looks like the White House will pick Elizabeth Warren to oversee the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the one set up under the financial reform law. But apparently, Warren won't go through the usual Senate confirmation process. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Bill.
Why would the White House want to get around the confirmation system?
Well, Elizabeth Warren was head of the congressional panel that investigated the Wall Street bailout, the so-called TARP program. And in that capacity, she's been a vocal critic of the financial sector and the federal government. And she was also an outspoken consumer advocate. She actually came up with the idea for a Consumer Protection Bureau. So there was talk that she might be just too controversial to win confirmation on Capitol Hill, especially right before the November election.
And how would the administration get around Congress?
Well, the White House will reportedly appoint Warren as an assistant to President Obama and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. She would oversee the creation of the Consumer Protection Bureau in that capacity, but she wouldn't have to go through the confirmation process. Now, even some Democrats, Bill, who support Warren, said they didn't know if she could actually be confirmed. The head of the Senate Banking Committee, Chris Dodd, said there's a serious question about that because Republicans dislike her so much.
What is their problem with her?
Well, many Republicans think Warren would take a very heavy-handed approach in protecting consumers with lots of new regulations. They worry that would hurt the profits of some U.S. companies. Now, I talked about this with Jim Thurber, who teaches political science at American University.
They're worried that she'll hurt the economy even further by being so aggressive against business. And so they're concerned about her and probably wouldn't support her, and therefore she doesn't have the votes in the Senate.
So by appointing Warren in this way, President Obama can avoid a nasty confirmation battle right before the election, and he can tell consumers he's doing something to help them right away.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Asia, slightly lower today. Well, sharply lower in Shanghai. There were some concerns the Chinese government is putting the brakes on growth. European shares are slightly lower, but on Wall Street yesterday, the September rally continued with the Dow Industrials adding 46 points, about 0.4%. The close was 10,572. Thousands of people will line the streets of Edinburgh, Scotland today as Pope Benedict XVI meets Queen Elizabeth. The bill for the Pope's visit will be paid by the British government, and that has many Brits upset, as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from London.
He's only the second pope to visit the UK in the last 500 years. But even before Benedict XVI touched down at Edinburgh Airport, his visit's been marred by controversy. The cost of this visit, $19 million for the British government, and the Catholic Church will be putting in another $15 million. But there's been a lot of criticism of these costs, at a time when the country is recovering from recession and facing big cuts to public spending. Juliette Wilson is from the Humanist Society of Scotland. She says taxpayers shouldn't have to foot the bill.
The Vatican, with their enormous wealth, should pay for that. Politicians need to understand that the teachings of the Pope are completely against the way that most Scottish people and even most Catholics think and live their lives.
But there have been some concessions. For the first time, people attending a beatification service on Sunday will have to pay $40 for tickets and transport. And the government has defended the cost, saying the Pope has been invited as a head of state. It notes that last year it cost more to host a one-day meeting of G20 finance ministers. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. By Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/publicradio.
It's the Chinese version of eminent domain, government seizing private property. It is so common now there is an online video game devoted to it. The game pits angry homeowners struggling to hold on to their property against an evil demolition crew. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports the game's popularity is a sign Chinese people are getting fed up with losing their homes to more development.
Losing your home has never been so fun. The free online game allows you to throw slippers, firecrackers, and other household objects from an upstairs window at a demolition crew below. They're armed with shovels, bulldozers, and machine guns. Guess who wins? Chinese internet expert Wen Yunchao says he's not surprised the game's so popular.
There are so many vicious property seizures happening right now in China. And for many people, all this has reached an unbearable level.
China's rapid development and massive public works projects have forced millions from their homes. It's also spurred a public debate in China over property rights. Just this summer, the country began moving more than 300,000 people from their homes to clear the way for a massive water diversion project. Wen says more Chinese are being angered by the limited rights under Chinese law for people who face this type of forced relocation. Without this backdrop, he says, the game's pretty pointless. As pointless, perhaps, as defending your home against Chinese developers. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, today's Wall Street Journal asks, would you like flies with that? A cooking store called the Brooklyn Kitchen is hosting an insect tasting menu this weekend. Things like wax moth larva ceviche and chocolate chirp cookies. Those have crickets inside. Fans of the cuisine say it is the new sushi. High in protein, low in fat, plus it's cheap and environmentally friendly. Actress Selma Hayek gave bug eating a boost when she appeared on the David Letterman show.
No, we eat bugs, but we don't eat horses.
You eat bugs?
Yeah.
Well, who eats bugs?
Mexicans, I mean.
Bug Appetit from the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.